this morning. Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had got in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Stop right there, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again this morning for what you're going to speak to our hearts about. We ask that, Father, our thoughts would be established, that we would not be distracted by life. Father, we would be focused on you this morning, seeking you with our whole heart, knowing you have something for each of us from your scripture that can encourage us, can give us discernment and wisdom in our life, and even direction. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts in a very special way, helping us to receive the truth. Father, I ask that your spirit would fall fresh upon your people this morning. Lord, that we would get a new vision, a revived vision, I should say, Lord, a revived vision of what it is that you want to do in each of our lives. Help us, Lord, to truly get our eyes off of the world and onto you. Help us, Father, to truly say, Lord, here am I, have your way with me, whatever your will, may it be done. Father, I ask that you would, Lord, touch the life of each of your people, encourage them, direct them, guide them, provide for them. Father, I ask that you'd speak to the hearts of the children in junior church, just like you did during the Sunday school hour. But Father, we don't want to just go through the motions of attending church. Father, we do want you to have your way with us. You know exactly what each of us needs to hear. You know what each of us need in our life at this moment. And Father, help us to fully trust you with all of our heart. Help us to truly love you as the Bible tells us to, with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, saying, Lord, again, here it is. Father, would you help me through it? Would you, Father, help me to glorify Christ in my life? Thank you, Father, for the life you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the debt that was paid that we could not pay. Father, thank you for the relationship you've allowed us to be in a relationship with a holy God who's full of love and compassion and mercy. Father, bless your holy name, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about having faith to follow. Having faith to follow and being able to overcome the unknown. We know, according to Abraham's life, God had called him out from his family and from his home and from his place that he was familiar with, to go and to journey with God through a place that he did not know what it would be like to go. He did not know what the journey would be like, but he knew that if God would be with him everything would be okay. He was willing to leave everything behind and to follow God, knowing God had called him to walk with him through the promised land. And Abraham would spend his time living in tents, never living in a city. But he was journeying, looking for a city that was built without hands, a city that obviously God has prepared in the heavens for us. But this morning I want us to be encouraged, and I want us to even determine in our life to always follow God by faith, even to the unknown. Abraham, again, he's a great man of God. He's a great example of someone who had great faith. And we want to follow the example that he gives us, because we're living in times right now of unknown, uncertainty. We don't know where our country is headed. We don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of this year. We don't know how bad things are going to get. We can speculate. We can speculate on the unknown, the what ifs. But let's determine to always follow by faith, knowing that God's in control, knowing that God's guiding us, knowing that God will not leave us nor forsake us. Let's purpose in our heart, like Daniel, not to defile ourselves while we're living in a wicked land with the wickedness, but let's continue to be faithful to a faithful God who loves us and has ordered our steps, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will uphold us with his right hand. But we have to, according to verse number 4, exercise our faith. Look at verse number 4 of Genesis chapter 12 as we think about faith to follow. Abraham had faith to follow God, and he had to exercise that faith. In verse number 4, so Abram departed. In verse number 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse number 4, so Abram departed. He obeyed God. He exercised his faith, believing what God said, not knowing where he was going. It was not just him. He had a wife. He had men servant, maid servants. He had a nephew that would travel with him, with his entourage as well. And he had a lot of responsibility, but he trusted God. And he was going to follow God, not knowing where he was going, but knowing that, you know what? If God's leading me, it's to a good place. God never leads you to a place that to God is bad. Now, the Israelites thought 3 days in the wilderness was a bad deal, and they started complaining and wanted to go back to Egypt, totally losing sight of the fact that God was leading them. God had brought them out with a stretched out arm. God had protected them while he judged the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and God had delivered his people. But listen, we have to exercise our faith. God's given us faith, but what is faith? If it can't be tested, it cannot be trusted. Somebody actually said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. James, I believe, said it this way. I believe it was James. I'm probably getting my things mixed up because my head is a little foggy this morning, but the Bible did talk about one man said, you know, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, you can say, well, I have faith in God, but okay, prove it. We need to prove our faith that we do trust God and that, you know what, I'm willing to follow God even when I don't see the outcome. Again, Abraham is a great example because he was willing to literally travel, literally leave his place. You know, I've mentioned Ruth several times probably this morning in Sunday school. I know I did, I think, on Wednesday last week, but just even thinking about Ruth. Because some might say, well, okay, you know, Abraham, you know, he was chosen by God. But Ruth, excuse me, Matthew, if I go to cough, just try to mute me, okay, so it doesn't blow people's eardrums out, all right? So just keep an eye on me. But think about Ruth. She chose to leave where she was living in Moab and to go where God was. Sometimes God does want us to leave where we're at to go where he is.
And sometimes we don't understand that. I can think of a time in my life where I thought I was making the decision as a young man, 19 years old, newly married, living in Mississippi and working for a medical supply company. And my brother-in-law was my manager, and they were going to move him and his wife up to Wisconsin to help open up a new warehouse up there. And I remember talking to my wife and talking to him and thinking, you know what, let's just throw our stuff on their U-Haul and let's just go where we have no idea where Wisconsin is. We just thought, you know, it'd be great to go. And I thought I was making that decision. But you understand, God does guide the affairs of men. Even though I thought I was making that decision, it was in Wisconsin that I got saved and started attending a good church and was called into the ministry, and where God just orchestrated a lot of things in my life. Now you might, well, couldn't God have done that anywhere? Yeah. But God chose to do it there. Abraham, he's told by God, leave, and he departs. Exercising your faith, if we truly do, as God's people, believe that God is able to do anything, well, let's be determined to follow by faith and to exercise our faith in obedience. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. We like to know where we're going. When I plan a family vacation to Tennessee, I map out where we're going, what cabin, where exactly we're going to live, where we're going to stay. I'd love to live in Tennessee in the mountains, if God ever allows that. But you know, I love the mountains. I love Tennessee. But I map out where we're going to stay. My wife and I would talk about, you know, what we're going to do for the week. But can you imagine? Could you imagine leaving here? Could you imagine God right now speaking to you and saying, I want you to leave and I want you just to go where I'm going to direct you? Okay, Lord, go ahead and tell me, where do I go? Nope, just go and I'll direct you. That's what it was for Abraham. God didn't give him a map and say, okay, follow this map. He said, no, leave, and he got up and left. He departed. He was willing to depart, not knowing where he was going, but knew who would be directing his steps. Because truly to exercise our faith, we have to exercise it in obedience and trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Scripture says, if we acknowledge God, he will direct your path. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that, you know what? God knows what he's doing. I gave you the example in Sunday school about a job I worked. I mean, I have so many examples in my own life, and I hope you have examples in your life that you can look to and say, you know what? I can see where God was directing that. I can see where, you know what? I was faced with uncertainty. I was faced with the unknown, and I just walked by faith, trusting that it's going to work out according to God's will, and it did. Now, again, we always have in our mind how we want things to work out. I told you that about one of our children being born, and just, you know, you have in your mind how something should be, and then it's different when it happens. You know, as I was talking to somebody earlier, just thinking about the fact that God's ways are different. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is infinite. God's infinite in all his ways. But you and I have to continue to exercise our faith in obedience and trust to God, knowing that, you know what? He's the one that is guiding me. He's the one that will bring me to a fruitful end, so he's glorified and I'm helped. Look at verse number 2, because faith is to be exercised, and we can expect some things when our faith is exercised. In verse number 2, it says, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God tells Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. So could Abraham expect God to do that? God said it. If God says it in his word, you and I can expect God to do it. And faith is expectant. My faith, based upon what God said, I can expect God to fulfill his word. And guess what that did for Abraham? Abraham, having his faith exercised and believing what God said, Abraham became a friend to God. Abraham's faith produced a friendship with God beyond his imagination. In Isaiah 41 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now, who doesn't want to be a friend of God? You know, in high school, kids always, you know, there's certain people they want to be friends with. You know, if I was friends with them, I'd be popular. Or if I was, you know, we always have this thought in our head that, you know what, they'd be a good friend. Or if I was a friend, you know, how's that going to benefit me? You know what, it's a good thing to be a friend of God. Is God your friend this morning? Because there's a friend that sticks is closer than a brother. I mean, God just, I mean, he's always there. I mean, he's a friend that you can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and talk to. Now, you try to call a friend on the phone, they may answer, they may not. And when they answer, they may say, call me back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Saying we have a friend in God. And Abraham was considered a friend of God because he believed God. He had faith to follow God even when he knew not what was going to happen, where he was going. We like the comforts of life. We like to be in control. But Abraham was not in control of his destiny, but he was in control of his steps. Am I going to continue following the Lord? Because you understand, when God tells Abraham that he's going to have a son, he didn't have a son the next week. And even after he had Ishmael, which was not God's will, God didn't speak to him for 13 years. Because Abraham did something that was not God's will. And God didn't speak to him for 13 years. Ishmael's 13 when Sarai gives birth to Isaac. Then God speaks to him again. But he's still a friend of God. He's a man of faith. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, according to Genesis 15. Hebrews 11, verse 9 says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise and is a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." By faith he sojourned. How are you and I living the life that God's given us right now? Hopefully it's by faith. Hopefully it's by faith. Hopefully we're trusting the Lord this morning in our life. We're trusting the Lord with our future. We're trusting the Lord with the things that we need. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness." I know that Abraham is a great example in many ways, but he was just a man that had a relationship with God. There's many things in his life that's in scripture that, you know, is a foreshadow of things to come. Obviously, laying Isaac upon that altar and God having the ram caught in the thicket, the substitute. I mean, all that, just a beautiful picture of God the Father giving his only begotten Son as a substitute for us. But he was a man who had to learn to live by faith. He was a man that had to have his faith tested. He was a man that had faith, and his faith required patience. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9 as we think about just having faith for the journey. Life is a journey, and you and I have to, as God's people, keep the faith. The faith in a faithful God, the one who has called us to run the race that has been set before us. Abraham had a journey. that he had to walk. The New Testament tells us that we're in a race. Hebrews 11 and verse 9 says, by faith, speaking of Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. We're living in a strange country. The country you currently live in is a very strange country. It is not a God-honoring country anymore. So much so that someone had sent a picture. I don't know if how many have realized this or seen it, but we have the motto in our country, "In God We Trust." And when you look at a quarter, George Washington, his face is facing the words, "In God We Trust." But now for the 2022 quarter, his face is facing away from the words, "In God We Trust," because it depicts our country as a whole turning its back away from God. And there are those that do not trust in God, and they want to defame what we believe in. Listen, do what you may, do what you want. It should not cause us as God's people to stop trusting in him. Our nation has been a blessed nation for a long time because we have built this nation upon God's word, and there are those that want to tear it down, just like there's one that wants to tear down your faith in your God right now, using things in our life to cause us to think that God has deserted us, that God has brought us, as the Israelites said, into the wilderness to kill us. Abraham shows us a man of great faith, trusting his God who had called him out from his people and from his country to basically journey with God through the promised land, that the Bible, God says, you know, this is going to be yours. But he dwelt in tents. Yet he believed God. His faith was tested when God wanted him to give up his begotten son Isaac, the promised one. And he was willing to do that because he believed God could raise him from the dead. But again, in Hebrews 11, 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He had to have a traveling faith. You're traveling through this world. You may have a home you're living in. You may be moving. You may be doing things in your life, but you're traveling through this world, and it should be by faith that God's in control and God will guide me and God will help me, and I'm going to trust him no matter what happens, no matter the temptation that the devil wants to try me with. I'm going to continue to trust the Lord. Because listen, I don't know what test your faith has had to endure up until this moment in your life. But when you think about an ultimate test of our faith like Abraham, because in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I mean, the land had such, this famine that was so grievous, he decides to go down into Egypt to try to provide for those in his home. It's not where God told him to go. Because had God told him to go there, he would have trusted God and not lied about his wife. Because that while he was there, his truthfulness was tested. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, there was a famine in the land. Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. In verse 13, Abraham says to Sarai, his wife, "Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Truthfulness, he was tested. Was he going to be truthful in his dealings? That's when you know that it's not the Lord's will when you're not trusting him through it. He chose to go to Egypt and finds himself wanting his wife to lie and say, "You're my sister, not my wife," because if they know you're my wife, they're going to kill me for you. Because the Bible says, you know, Sarah, even in her older age, was a beautiful woman. We serve a God of truth, and God wants us to live a life of truth. True faith will help us to live a truthful life because we're trusting the Lord, and if he's guiding us, what's there to lie about? You know what? The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus even tells us that, and he lies all the time. "Oh, it'll be better if you do this." He even lied to Jesus and said, "You know what? You bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all the riches." He even came to Adam and Eve and told them, you know, "Go ahead, eat that forbidden fruit. Because God knows as soon as you do, you're going to be wise like him. Knowing good and evil." What I'm saying that God's people, we need to be truthful in all our dealings. Abraham was tested. He failed. But you know what? He was tested in his generosity, and he passed that test. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, when Lot and Abram could no longer dwell together because their herdsmen were fighting over the green pastures, fighting over the water and all of this, and Abraham comes to Lot and tells his nephew, "You make the first choice. I'm going to let you decide, and whichever way you go, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." And the Bible says in Genesis 13, verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. I mean, just beautiful, a beautiful place. And Lot chose that well-watered plain. And Abraham was left with the desert. But if you were to read on in that chapter, God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham knew he got the better deal. Because it's a better deal to walk with God in the wilderness than to walk into well-watered plains of wickedness. Because what happened to Lot? Because Lot chose that, he ends up moving into Sodom, losing his children to the city, losing his relationship with God. Even though God was merciful and sent angels to bring him out, yet he still didn't want to go where God wanted him to go. He wanted to go to another city. Isn't that just a little sin? What I'm saying is sometimes we think as God's people, those that are wicked, those that don't love God are getting a better deal in their life, but no, you are, because you have God with you and God guiding you and God providing for you. And it's our faith that helps us to see that we are on the good side, that God is good, that God is providing for us, that even though I may be walking through a wilderness, you know what? God's going to bring me to a well-watered plain. God's going to give me a drink out of a dry rock. God's going to provide manna. God's going to do great things in the wilderness. It's not in the well-watered plains of wickedness. Our faith is to be tested. His generosity was tested. He passed that. But like I said earlier, you know what? He did not pass the test of patience. In Genesis 13, verse 14 through 16, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. Look in all directions, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." And God's speaking of a great host of people. And God would even tell Abraham that he's going to have a son, but you know the account. You know Abraham lost patience. He listened to his wife. He took Hagar, the handmaid of Sarai, had a son with her. He was not the promised son. Listen, sometimes we take matters into our own hands because we just cannot see how it's going to turn out. We cannot see how is God going to take this situation and do what he said he was going to do. He must need me to intervene in his plans to make it work. God does not need us to intervene in his plans to make it work. He needs us to be surrendered to his will and to patiently wait for him. Do we get weary waiting? Yes. But that's why we find encouragement in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Take your Bibles and go there. You know what it says, but let's put our eyes upon the word of God in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Abraham knew what God said, but he allowed him to think, oh, this must be God's will. But Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God knows that waiting does get weary. Again, it was several years. Abraham is 75 when God says you're going to have a son. It's not until he's later in his 90s, but it's 13 years after he makes his own decision to do it his way. Now, that's a beautiful thing to even think about. God always does what he's going to do. But we can make it easy on ourselves or hard on ourselves. Abraham kind of made it hard. He knew that God would do what he said, but he decided, you know what, God needs my help, and it caused him 13 years of God not speaking. And it caused him heartache when God says later on, send Hagar, send Ishmael away. They're not the promise. That was his son, but God said, send them away. So it caused him more grief than he even thought about. Sometimes our lack of faith causes us more grief than we realize. But you know what? Abraham did have faith to sacrifice. Look at Genesis chapter 22 as we come to the close of the message and just thinking about faith to follow. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to trust the one that we're following. We're to obey. In Genesis chapter 22, you look at verses 1 through 3. You just see the ultimate request that God requires of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The ultimate request in Abraham's life was, give me your son back. What is it in our life that we would have a hard time giving up for God? It's always easy to say, oh, I'd give anything up to God until we're faced with giving it up. In some ways, I can kind of relate to Abraham because there have been times in my life as a father where I've had to literally carry one of my children to an operating table in an hospital and hold them while the nurse would put the mask on their face for them to be knocked out for a surgery. And I can understand a little bit of Abraham walking Isaac up that mountain, Mount Moriah, knowing what God had asked of him. Isaac had no idea. Isaac's father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb, where's the sacrifice? And his father says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God will provide himself a lamb. But in Abraham's heart, he knew what God asked him to do. Because there's times where, again, for me as a father, having to do that not once but four times with four different children. And one child having to do it twice. And to say, basically, Lord, they're yours. I know the surgery can turn out great, but I also know that anything could go wrong. And just having the faith, I know God could have kept those children from having to have those surgeries. But there was a reason why they had to do that, why they had to have those surgeries. Yeah, they had medical conditions that needed to be corrected, but there was a surgeon who operated on every single one of them that my wife and I got to befriend and pray with and witness to. And I pray and hope that he did. I don't know. I pray and hope he did accept Christ as his Savior at some point. And I had to, by faith, look at that and know, okay, this obviously was a plan of God for this surgeon, for this man, but also to help me to grow in my faith that, you know what, I cannot protect my children the way that I think I can. I will physically protect my children. I will get into harm's way, but when it comes to their health, what can I do? I have to, by faith, trust God will take care of them. The ultimate request for Abraham, we already know, he was to give Isaac back. And you know how that turned out, but listen, in your life, in my life, there are times where God asks a request. Give this to me because God doesn't want anything between us and him. Because when Isaac goes through, or I'm sorry, when Abraham gets to the point, Isaac's on the altar, he's ready to sacrifice his son, God stops him and says, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you truly love me. God wanted to see if he was willing to go through it. Sometimes God wants to see, are we serious about our faith? Are we serious about trusting him? Let's let these opportunities in our life be a great opportunity for our faith to be shown that we truly do trust the very one who holds our life in his hands. Last place I want you to think about is verses 9 through 13 of Genesis chapter 22. Because there was that ultimate request, and there had to be an ultimate sacrifice. Now, I know Abraham was willing. Someone else had to be willing too. Isaac had to be willing to lay down his life. He had to be willing to allow his father, who he most definitely could have outran, probably could have outmuscled. Isaac could have kept himself off the altar. But as you read in Scripture, he allowed himself to be bound to the altar. He was allowing himself to be that sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22, looking at verse 9 through 13 again. There. I apologize for my voice this morning. Hopefully it has not been too much of an annoyance or distraction for you. Genesis 22, verses 9 through 13. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. in the stead of his son. God always has something better for you. But he does test our faith. Are we willing to give up something? Are we willing to give up things in our life that we think are important? That we think we can't live without? Obviously, God had a great substitute for Isaac. I know it's a picture. It is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ being our substitute. But listen, as I talk to us this morning about our faith to follow God in the unknown, it's easy to look back and say, oh, yep, I came through that. Yep, God helped me, but looking ahead, we have to have faith to look ahead. I want you to look at still in Genesis 22. We'll end with this. I want you to look at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I love that. Abraham rose up early in the morning. I don't like rising up early in the morning. I'm not a morning person, even though I do have to get up and sometimes be at a job by 2 a.m. I'm still not a morning person. But Abraham, it tells us, you know what? He was willing to obey very quickly. He wanted to accomplish what God told him to do early. Because you know what? If we don't respond to God quickly when he moves in our heart, we will have the tendency not to fulfill what God has asked us to do. If you sit around and think too long, because again, going back to Adam and Eve, number one, they shouldn't have been around the forbidden fruit, but they were there. And as soon as the serpent started speaking, Adam and Eve should have left, but they hung around. They hung around listening. They hung around looking. They hung around desiring. And then they sinned against God. Look, if God says it, we ought to be quick to obey. No sense in thinking about it. No sense in trying to, you know, determine, well, you know, did God really mean that? Did God really want me? God specifically told Abraham, this is what I want you to do. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Wasn't there yet, but he saw it afar off. Can you see through the eyes of faith that God's in front of you? That God's directing your steps? That God will provide for you? I want you to look at Psalm 23 because David says it this way. In Psalm 23, David starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. He's the director. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Abraham saw afar off the place where he would sacrifice Isaac. As you and I are journeying through the life that God's given us, may we continue to follow by faith because we can look ahead and see the one we're following. The devil wants us to get caught up on the things that are in front of us, and God wants us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. What's going to help you and me finish our course well? What's going to help us not to lose faith in the life we're living? Listen, I know that when you, sometimes you try to talk to someone. I've had people say, there's two things I don't talk about. I don't talk about religion. I don't talk about politics. Talk to me about anything else, but don't talk to me about religion or politics. Those two things affect your life. One affects it eternally. One affects it, I'll say temporally. But it still affects your life. Listen, as God's people, we still need to live by faith that, you know what, God's still sitting on the throne. And God can change anything that's happening in this country. But he really does want to change things in your life, in my life. Can we look and see somebody else, Lord? As Peter said about John, what about him? But the Lord was concerned about Peter, just as he's concerned about each of you and me, working in our life, us following him and continuing to follow him by faith, letting him work in our life, us surrendering ourselves and even yielding our life. Lord, what would you have me to do? What in my life do you not like that you want me to set aside because it's either a sin or it's a weight that's keeping me from truly trusting you and truly following you? Again, God's desire is for our faith to continue to grow because it's more precious to him than gold. But how precious is our faith to us? Do we value our faith as much as God does? If we do, then let's be like Daniel and purpose in our hearts. You know what? I'm not going to let anything defile my relationship with God. Nothing that this country can put into law that would cause me. Listen, you know, we've been saying it. I've said it. I know it's been said for years by preachers. And some people even scoffed at it. It'll never happen. Do you understand they could lock these doors and not let you in this church? You understand they, and I say they as in this government, can take away your Bible and cause it to be illegal? But because we've grown up in a free country, our mindset is it never happened. But it's slowly eroding what our country is built upon. What I'm saying is, what is it that would cause us to lose faith in God? What if the Bible was outlawed and they literally came to your house, ransacked your house, looking for all copies of Scripture and taking them? Would we have the mindset, oh no, we've lost? Oh no, what am I going to do? I don't have a Bible. And someone might be thinking, well, I've got my smartphone. They can erase those apps off your phone without you giving them the phone. What am I saying? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm saying I want us to think about how precious is our faith to us. What would happen? What would happen to you when that moment comes and they do lock these doors? And they do take away your Bibles. Would we still have faith to follow God? Would we still trust God? Would we still rely upon God?